nuclear hell. And this is the blockage of mentality, of denial, that is prevailing in the mass media, on Capitol Hill, and in the White House. And as always, with crucial issues, progressives and others, however we define ourselves, need to recognize that the imperative changes will not come from the top. They're certainly not going to come from Wall Street or corporate America. They're not going to come from Pennsylvania Avenue. They're going to come from us as we learn, as we educate ourselves and others, as we organize and as we agitate and as we fight for political power, because that's the only way that nuclear war really can be averted.
And speaking of that top-down message, rather than backing away from reliance on ICBMs and other nukes, the U.S. has announced a nuclear modernization plan. Can you explain what's entailed in that plan? And speaking of Wall Street, what's the price tag?
It is an ultimate derangement, the top-down insanity that normalizes what is a push over towards the precipice of nuclear conflagration. The euphemisms really prevail. So you cited one, modernization. Well, that means that some corporations will get very rich fine-tuning the preparations for Armageddon. You have Northrop Grumman, one of the main Pentagon contractors. They've already got $13 billion with a B dollars just to do some planning for this new version of the Minuteman III, the ICBMs that are in five different states in underground silos. I mean, talk about hidden in plain sight. These are annihilation instruments that are in the ground in the United States. Everybody knows where they are, and those 400 weapons are poised on hair trigger alert to do something very insanely stupid, which is to increase the chances of nuclear war by being there in the first place. And there's this whole bugaboo and taboo politically and in U.S. mass media against what's called unilateral disarmament. You know, we can't do that. We're not going to be wimps. We're going to be having so-called peace through strength. And it's counterintuitive but very real that in the case of these land-based ICBMs, the only way to make us safer in connection with those weapons is to shut them down. Not just some of them, but all of them. And yes, to do it unilaterally if necessary. The Russians have an equivalent number. The Chinese are building them. And people are told by corporate America, by news media, oh, well, you can't unilaterally shut yours down because the other side has them. Well, I use the analogy, let's say we're standing in a deep pool of gasoline, and those we think who are our adversaries are lighting matches, and we're lighting matches. Well, it would be a sane thing to do to stop lighting matches. And yet, if we were to do that, we would be accused of unilateral disarmament, doing it on our own. Well, sometimes sanity needs to prevail, and we have to start.
Norman, during the Cold War, and especially in the 70s and 80s, there were massive protests. I was on several of them, where hundreds of thousands of people marched against nuclear proliferation. Why aren't we seeing that kind of organizing and awareness now? And this danger is so great. I mean, who's doing anything, and why aren't we seeing anything?
Well, the stakes are, as you say, so huge, and it's a paradox because the larger the stakes, the more they seem to be hidden in plain sight. I mean, there was a lot of attention to the film Oppenheimer that premiered last summer, and it was a brief reawakening. But overall, as you say, there has been a real quiescence in the last decade. Part of it was the end of the Cold War at the end of the 1980s. People were lulled into a false sense of security, even while these nuclear weapons have become more accurate, which makes the military mentality more willing and able to contemplate and plan for nuclear war. We have been, by omission quite often, conditioned to separate overall militarism and wars from the part of the warfare state apparatus that involves nuclear weapons, which are, of course, the ultimate war, the ultimate destruction and the madness that militarism leads us to. And so we've been really encouraged to separate from U.S. aggressiveness in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Libya, in Syria, and elsewhere, from the underpinning of the entire military doctrine of the United States. And I think it's really notable that although Russia has been appropriately condemned for its public statements through Vladimir Putin and others that it would consider in certain circumstances using nuclear weapons in Ukraine, the fact is that the United States government has always had identical doctrine, which is if our backs are up against the wall, we affirm that we reserve the right to be the first to use nuclear weapons in a conflict, which is a way of saying our government takes a position, it has the right to start nuclear war. You can't think of a more insane policy in terms of humanity, and yet there it is.
Well, Norman Solomon, the presidential election in November will probably come down to a contest between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. I may be wrong, but that's what we're looking at right now. For First Amendment advocates like yourself, I'm guessing that prospect is less than inspiring. So tell us, are you ever tempted just to hide under the covers and not get out of bed? From where do you find your inspiration to keep pushing forward?
It's tempting to, metaphorically or not, pull the covers over our heads. And yet, we never get anywhere by passivity. We know everything we have to be proud of in the United States is not because it was handed down from on high by media or political titans. It's because people organized from the bottom up. And, you know, like many other activists, I'm inspired by the history, past and present, of people who are willing to organize, who will go against the grain to create the civil rights movement or build it, the women's rights movement, gay rights, to fight for the human rights for health care, education, and housing, to oppose the U.S. invasion and slaughter of people in Iraq, now to oppose the Israeli slaughter of people in Gaza. We have people who are doing nonviolent civil disobedience around the United States to oppose the U.S. support for the killing of so many civilians in Gaza by the Israeli government, while the U.S. government provides billions of dollars more of weaponry. That's inspiring because people are not only understanding what's at stake, but doing something about it and working together. These changes will not happen vertically. They'll happen horizontally because we work with each other and we insist that human life is worth fighting for.
This is Michael Smith. I'm with Maria Hall. You're listening to Law and Disorder Radio, and we have as our guest Norman Solomon talking about the nuclear catastrophe that may be upon us. Norman, would you please talk about some of the organizations that are trying to do something about this threat?
Well, I'm very biased. I work at rootsaction.org, and we now have more than 1 million people who are online supporters who have signed up, who get our alerts, and it's about action. And we're in a coalition with a couple of hundred other organizations. It's called Defuse Nuclear War, and people can find information there and sign up for action alerts just by going to defusenuclearwar.org. There are many other groups that are very active, and they are willing and able to challenge the warfare state. I think that the nuclear weapons context, as I have mentioned, is woefully under-discussed and under-addressed. And so I encourage people to look for your local chapters, for instance, of Peace Action. It's a national group with many chapters around the country. Peace Action does wonderful work, and it's a recognition that as individuals, we will not get very far. It's always about organizing.
Norman, I wanted to ask you about the Cuban Missile Crisis. I lived through it. It was plenty scary. And fortunately, we had a smart reasonable person like John Kennedy as our president. That may not be the case next time. Could you talk about how scary it was, the nuclear threat that happened to the Cuban Missile Crisis, how we got out of it?
It was scary. Early 1960s, I was a child in elementary school. I was clueless, but a lot of adults around me who had a sense of what was involved were terrified. Essentially, it was discovered by the U.S. that the Soviet Union had placed some nuclear weapons in Cuba, you know, famously 90 miles from the U.S., and that caused tremendous upheaval and basically a throwing down of the gauntlet by the U.S. saying, this is intolerable. And long story short, there were a lot of people in the Kennedy cabinet who said that the U.S. should simply invade Cuba in response. As the saying goes, cooler heads prevailed, and there was negotiation that took place. And this is the kind of mentality that's absent today, largely in confrontation, where in this case, catastrophe was averted because there was a belief in diplomacy. And it was a near thing because President Kennedy hesitated. And most of his advisors, I say, thought that diplomacy was not useful. There were back-channel negotiations, and the result was a deal which, to some degree, was private. I think it should be understood that the U.S. stance, then and now, has been, do as we say, not as we do. So the United States had nuclear missiles stationed in Turkey, very near the Soviet Union, and that was something that went unchallenged inside the U.S. government. We have a right to do that. But there was a Monroe Doctrine approach that says we want to tell our adversaries what they must not do, even if we do it. And Kennedy at least had the wisdom to realize that's not going to fly. Fast forward to 2023, and the mentality going into the new year has continued to be, look, we make the rules, we break the rules. And when the United States continues to preach about a rules-based order, which is a popular phrase coming from the top of the U.S. government, and breaks any rule it wants to any time, then really the policy is might makes right. And to go back to the Cuban Missile Crisis, if the policy of might makes right had been pursued, then we wouldn't be here today because nuclear war would have taken place.
Well, Norman Solomon, thank you so much for being with us here today and sharing your insights and wisdom. We so much appreciate it. Can you let us know where we can find your book, War Made Invisible, How America Hides the Human Toll of Its Military Machine, as well as your articles and other work?
People can find my book online. I have a website set up, which is going to be a headquarters for activism. And that's simply the name of the book.org. So it's warmadeinvisible.org. And I'm at normansolomon.com, where I have many of my articles. And I also encourage people to support some of the websites that happen to run my articles and 24/7 are providing just wonderful access to news and analysis. CommonDreams.org is a very good example. And we really need to build the institutions that can run counter to the militarism that we've been talking about.
Thank you so much, Norman Solomon, for being with us here on Law and Disorder.
I'm really glad that we could do this, and onward and upward.
If you have any comments or questions about this segment or any others, please visit us at lawanddisorder.org. That's lawanddisorder.org. One word, Law and Disorder. .org.
We'd like to send a big thanks to the following stations that are now airing Law and Disorder. KWSI 100.3 FM, Grand Junction, Colorado. KBOG 97.9 FM in Brandon, Oregon. WHMI 93.5 FM, Livingston County, Michigan. WBDY, 99.5 FM, in Binghamton, New York. KRJF, 92.3 FM, Santa Rosa, California. WXOJ, Valley Free Radio in Northampton, Maine. And WEFR, 1700 AM, West End Fairmont Radio in Fairmont, West Virginia. And for other stations who may be airing Law & Disorder, please let us know so that we can thank you and that we can include you on our website.
Saul, Commissioner of Social Security. Beware of telephone scammers pretending to be government employees. Real Social Security employees will never threaten you. Callers threatening you with arrest or other legal action and demanding money are not from us. If you receive a call like this, hang up. Do not provide them with any form of payment or information. Report the call at oig.ssa.gov.
This is WRCT Pittsburgh.
Hello and welcome to Breakfast for Dinner. This is DJ Chris Wired. You just heard the Anderson Council with Alone With You. We have plenty of good stuff here in this episode, so I hope you stick around. But first, we are going to take care of a little business.
I just had another dizzy spell and almost fell. I'm scared they will get worse and never go away.
You're not alone. 69 million people suffer from dizziness and vertigo.
I wonder if there's help.
There is. The Vestibular Disorders Association has a helpline at 800-837-8428 or visit liferebalanced.org.
Can you repeat that?
800-837-8428 or liferebalanced.org.
Sponsored by the Vestibular Disorders Association.
Basement Show sounds on radio. Tune in to Punk Primers on Mondays at 11 p.m. for the music of DIY punk from our local scene and beyond. Every show spotlights new artists and some genres on WRCT Pittsburgh. Everyone thinks they know the 80s hits, but on the other side of the Atlantic lies a treasure trove of synth-drenched sounds that filled the airways of Europe back in the day. Take a trip back to the 80s you never knew with DJ Tony Tunes. From Here to Eternity, Tuesdays at 9 a.m. here on WRCT Pittsburgh.
Okay, let's see what we have next. We have new music from Arthur Anderson. His latest is called Steppin' Out. and the song is called Silver Cloud.
Bye. just as if the scab's the thing. When the one below is festering, I can't leave it alone. The scab that has grown, I need a backbone to let it all go. I work you over in my mind, but you're just one inner
tonight. Peel that on the concrete, gonna make her feel alright. I know I drive too fast, cause I know that it won't last. But right now I feel so good. Had a 9-to-5, but I got canned. I'm too wired to sleep, too drunk to stand.
walk away. I'll say I'm sorry much too late. But for just 1 minute, or as long as you will let it, tell me how you feel so good right.
That is new music from Fruit Bats. Their latest disc is A River Running to Your Heart, and that song is called It All Comes Back. Before that, Buffalo Rose with I Feel So Good. Martha Rose Perry with Leave It Alone. And we started that set off with new music from Arthur Alexander, Silver Cloud.
Stress may feel like a constant and one that may lead to heart disease and stroke. But what if we focus on what we can control and turn those stressful minutes into our me time? Sometimes just taking a deep breath can make a difference. Or going on a short walk, maybe even taking a nap to recharge. Managing your stress means managing your health, so it's important to take back your moments. This is your me time. Own it. Learn more about reducing stress at heart.org/stress.
Support comes from Sidecar Bakery in North Oakland. Whether you're looking for a casual place to study or a great place to meet friends, we are here for you. Always serving scratch-made pastries, a full coffee bar, and six packs to go in a cozy cafe setting. Open 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Sunday. If you're interested in underwriting for WRCT, you can email pr@wrct.org for more information about promotional exchanges and other partnership opportunities. Okay, next up we have Semisonic. They have a new song out. We're going to play it for you here. It's called The Rope.
Never gonna wake up in an ordinary bed. Swear you're never gonna. start my work day at the crack of dawn. Little does she realize the car's already gone. I'm James Bond in a leisure suit and a pinky ring. I'll give you even money that you never heard a thing. Yes, I'm your friendly repo man, taking anything I can. Just an honest businessman. There's nothing more American than a repo man. Try to hide your pickup truck at your grandma's place. You're more than likely wake up to an empty parking space. I'll run my finger up and down a subtle knob to hide. Then I'll violate you till there's nothing left inside. I'm your friendly repo man, taking anything I can. Just an honest businessman, there's nothing more American than a repo man. I don't need a reason, intelligent design, until you pay the balance off your sorry ass is mine. 'Cause I'm your friendly people man, taking anything I can. Just an honest businessman, there's nothing more American than your friend. Your friendly repo man, your repo
limousine ride. And if you don't recall my name,
we'll be right back.
That was Roger Joseph Manning Jr. with Rockin' It Our Way. And if you're thinking, hey, that sounds a bit like Jellyfish, that's because he found a jellyfish. That's why. Anyway, he has a new album out. It's actually half old and half new. It's called Radio Days and Glamping. Glamping is an older EP, and he added some new songs to it. Anyway, quite good song, especially if you're into jellyfish or power pop. Before that, The Flashing Lights with Been Waiting. Jamie Hoover with Repo Man. Zampano, Behind the Beehive. And we started that set off with new music from Semisonic, The Rope. I want to tell you about one other show we have here in WRCT. Hey, do you remember that kid you picked on in high school? Well, we gave him a radio show. Tune in and hear the Mockster spin the best and worst in indie, punk, classic country, power pop, and so much more. That's Viva La Mock, Friday night starting at 9 with an encore on Tuesday afternoon starting at 5. Exclusively here on 88.3 FM, WRCT Pittsburgh. Okay, let's go back to the 80s when you could combine rap and dance music and rock and pop. Actually, you can do it today too, but we're going to go back to the 90s and how they did it then. And we're going to start off with Urban Dance Squad and Fastlane.
Say hey, for your presence they stay the hell away, a free doorway. Things are okay, no matter what they say, that's only hearsay. They're choking the smoke, why you consume a...
Now, opening the vaults on over 100 years of recorded music history. Welcome to Cruisin' the Decades, Global Edition. One song per decade, 100 years of music in 1 hour. Produced and hand-selected by Brad Savage in the studios of WAPS-FM, The Summit, in Akron, Canton, Youngstown, Athens, Ohio, USA. Presented in this special global edition on the greatest independent radio stations across planet Earth on shortwave via the super-powered Radio Miami International, WRMI in Okeechobee, Florida. On Channel 292 shortwave from Rohrbach, Germany, heard across Europe and Northern Africa. And on the 500-kilowatt WBCQ The Planet in Monticello, Maine, on the Canadian border. On FM and AM via broadcast signals all across North America and planet Earth. Get ready to go cruising through 100 years of popular music. This is a journey through music history from someone with a rather ridiculous record collection. Here's your host for Cruising the Decades, Brad Savage.
An ode to collecting records or hearing a great song over the radio. Welcome aboard. It's Cruising the Decades with over 100 years of music. I'm Brad Savage. You're listening to episode number 95. And on today's show, Bo Carter gives us some 30s blues double entendre. Also, European listener and shortwave radio correspondent Martin in Poland checks in with some QSL listening confirmations. And Todd Snyder sings a love song to collecting vinyl. And get this, Mr. Joe Jackson presents Max Champion. A recent release by UK singer Joe Jackson, who's always doing many different styles of music throughout his career. Well, now he is reviving the songs of a 1900s and 1910s British music hall singer, Max Champion, who was almost entirely lost to history until this recent release. Well, let's get going. We'll start in 1918, Cruising the Decades, and we're going to play a recording digitally mastered off an old Edison Cylinder, a wax cylinder record. Look it up. It's pretty amazing. Certain museums can demonstrate how this type of record player works. And this is pre-electricity. And before records were flat, they were a cylinder made of wax. And so this one's a little scratchy. I hope it's okay. It's over 100 years old. Irving Kaufman with Don't Cry, Little Girl, Don't Cry. This is 1918. On Cruisin' the Decades.
Why are you looking so sad? Because your heart is breaking, it seems. It's mighty hard, you and I must part. We only know what it means. I long for a smile from you, although you are sad and blue. Don't cry, little girl, don't cry. Don't cry, little girl, don't cry. Remember, a smile is always worthwhile when one comes to say goodbye. Someday when your dreams come true, they'll bring happy thoughts to you.